Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
We have two wonderful speakers for tonight. We have Anna Altman and Suzanne May. And I'm going to go ahead and read their bios. But thank y'all so much for saying yes to doing this. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read about Anna. Anna Altman is a Christian wife, mom, and nurse who will become a certified registered nurse anesthetist next year. She's worked so hard for that, y'all. She is from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and has lived in Madison, Alabama for 10 years with her husband, Eric Altman. She grew up in the church and is blessed with a wonderful Christian family, both on her side with the Winklers and her husband's side with the Altmans. She and Eric have been married for 12 years, together for 17, and have one daughter, Evelyn, who's almost two. When working, Anna has served as a registered nurse in multiple surgical trauma ICUs in the state, a critical care nursing professor at UAH College of Nursing and Calhoun Community College, and is now a full-time nurse anesthesia student at UAB. In her free time, she enjoys traveling and spending time with family and friends. Her favorite ladies' event at Madison is Ladies' Day, and that is quickly approaching, excitingly quickly approaching. So I agree, it's so awesome. Okay, and then Suzanne May is a Christian woman. She's a wife to Brian May for over 30 years. And she says, even though they are empty nesters, in the empty nesters class, they still think of themselves as young marrieds, which I get that. They have attended Madison since 2012, with a year and a half away in Dallas, Georgia. Suzanne received her paralegal degree in 1995, but when she had Lydia, she decided to become a stay-at-home mother. She then had Amelia and Anna. While Lydia and Amelia attended public school, the idea of homeschooling was introduced. So when Lydia finished third grade and Amelia finished first grade, she began homeschooling a fourth grader, a second grader, and a kindergartner. Phew! She admits it was hard. There were tears, fear, and insecurity. She says, but God, and that's a big statement right there, but God is faithful and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. That scripture has been the story of her life. Now that her homeschool journey has ended, she thanks God for her girls. Lydia has a job as a marketing specialist, and Amelia is a social worker. Anna is a junior at Freed Hardeman and wants to be a behavior analyst. Moms, she says, moms who are homeschooling, you can do it. Thanks. God has equipped you to complete this journey. It will be hard at times. Yes, it will, but most things that are worth it are hard to do. Today, Suzanne enjoys making bread and continuing to study and grow in his word.
Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to speak with you all tonight. If you're like me, life's a little chaotic. Your hair's on fire and, well, the flames are ever rising. If you're wondering if the two brain cells you have left will collide and form a coherent thought. If you relate to this or even if you don't, I'm glad that you're here. The title of our lesson tonight is In Sadness and in Gladness, He Will Meet You There. So for our scripture, it's Isaiah 41:10, and it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." To set the context, Isaiah 41 is written to God's people during a time of fear, uncertainty, and weakness. Israel felt overwhelmed, displaced, and powerless. God does not minimize their fear. Instead, he meets them in it. This verse is not a command to be strong on your own. It's a promise of God's presence and support when strength is gone. God speaks from comfort to comfort people who are afraid, grieving, and exhausted. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my life the past few years and God's unwavering love and mercy throughout, and how this verse brought me comfort. A lot of things happened simultaneously, so the timeline will be a little bit jumbled. I apologize in advance for that. In 2020, we started trying to have a family with no success for years. In 2022, we started IVF, much like Anne-Marie discussed last week. We didn't tell a soul for over a year. We underwent treatment and several small surgeries, and we struggled and suffered in silence while others lived our dream. We were told many times we may never be parents. I was a slow responder to medications. It took me twice as long than most people who go through these cycles, and we got very few eggs every time. We felt alone, and I felt alone, even laying next to my most amazing supportive spouse many times. We got 3 viable embryos through our 3 rounds and got pregnant after each one that we transferred. Unfortunately, we lost our first 2 babies, but are ever so thankful that our 3rd baby is with us today, and her name's Evelyn, and she's almost 2. Over a 5-month span of time during our season of loss, we lost 2 babies and our only 2 remaining grandparents between the 2 of us, Eric's grandfather and my grandmother, all while working 4 to 5 12-hour shifts per week at the hospital and studying to apply for anesthesia school. After our 2nd miscarriage, I had a DNC on the Friday of Mother's Day weekend. We still went home to Tuscaloosa to see my family, as my mom is ill, and also to attend our niece's dance recitals. We were surrounded by children the entire weekend. It was a difficult weekend of suffering and silence because my family didn't know. No one did. But I'm glad that we went, because it was the last time I saw my grandmother. So rewind a bit, even though that was 2022, to December of 2021. I had the privilege of being a professor, but I resigned from UAH to prepare for and pursue nurse anesthesia. I always say it's what I should have done 10 years ago, but better late than never. It's the best profession to be a part of. No regrets for the things I've been blessed to do along the way, because I know that God led me on the journey, and the people I've met along the way I would not have met had I not done what I've been able and privileged to do. In 2022 of January, my mom became ill. She was diagnosed with cancer on the 13th of January in 2022. She has cholangiocarcinoma, which is bile duct cancer, but it lives in her liver. She lost 30 pounds in 2 weeks. She had referred shoulder pain and night sweats, and they palpated her liver, trying to figure out what in the world was going on, and it was huge. She had 10 tumors, all in her right lobe, 3 of which were the size of a softball. She was dying by the hour before she had surgery. From the time of diagnosis until she had surgery was 1 week's time, and that was providential. My family on my dad's side are all ministers, except for my dad, who we jokingly call the black sheep. He became a surgeon. And all these years ago, my grandfather was diagnosed with renal cell carcinoma and given a year to live. And he lived for 14. And imagine the number of people that he reached with the gospel in that time. And so also through dad's training and connections, he was able to help save my mom's life. So she had a right hepatectomy, which is removal of the entire right lobe of her liver. But it was during COVID at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota in Rochester, where dad trained. The surgeon who did her surgery trained my dad in the 80s. And he actually retired later that year. He'd been practicing for over 40 years. He would get up at 2 a.m. every morning and run like he was very fit. So he was still fit to do surgery. So anyway, unfortunately, I couldn't be there with her because it was during COVID and only one person could attend. And so, of course, dad's the one. The day that she had her surgery, I actually continued on with my assignment at the UAB SICU, where I did 2 days of orientation, my first of which was that day of her surgery, and I cared for a patient who bled to death by their liver, doing massive transfusions and things, all while I had no service on my phone to get updates about how my mom was doing. So that was a lot, but it's okay. We're better for it. So she did well after her surgery, despite the pain of her recovery. She was given 6 to 12 months to live. She's still with us today. She did oral chemo, had issues with that, IV chemo, responded, was eligible for a clinical trial. She took this clinical trial drug that saved her life for at least for a little while. and she had no evidence of disease for 2 years. Her cancer recurred last year in February. She had radiation, was responsive, and now has had another breakthrough and is back on IV chemo. And she'll remain on chemo likely until her death. Hopefully she'll be with us for many more years, but we are ever so grateful for 4 years from the time of her diagnosis when given only 6 to 12 months. God's mercy has been great, and so is his love through this journey. It's been difficult, but what a blessing that she's been a part of our lives and also could meet Evelyn. Also, through her diagnosis, we learned that she has a genetic mutation. It's called the BRCA2 genetic mutation, or the BRCA gene. And it places you at risk for ovarian, breast, pancreas, colon, rectal, and melanoma cancer. There's a 50% chance that I would have it, and I do. So I was tested for it, and I began the monitoring appointments, and I went in for a mammogram, received a call back for a magnification view. I wasn't concerned. I had a benign finding prior and thought that that was what they were investigating until I was brought into a room and sat down with a physician and told that at 31 years old, I likely would have breast cancer. So I proceeded with a biopsy, and thankfully it was benign, which is awesome. But it looked like I had birdshot in my left breast, which I like to call the death trap. So we needed to get it removed. So they couldn't possibly biopsy all of it, or it would look like Swiss cheese. So I decided that I would proceed with a mastectomy and reconstruction. But I was attempting to get pregnant at the same time and eventually did. So, you know, you can't really have surgery while you're with child. So I planned for my surgery all while pregnant, and I desperately wanted to breastfeed knowing that I had a timeline during anesthesia school when I could have my surgery but also had a very small child. So I remember being in Dr. Sample's office shortly before delivery, and she said, "I can tell you really want to breastfeed." And I'm like, "Yes, but I cannot. I have to dry up before my surgery." And she said, "No, just breastfeed, even just for 3 weeks." And so I did. But in that moment, I told her, "You don't understand. I have nothing. I don't have a pillow, a pump, anything." She said, "What do you mean? All you need is boobies." And I was like, "That's my kind of people. We keep it real, okay?" So I was able to breastfeed for 3 weeks, and it was, you know, still a blessing and privilege. And then that in the summer, when Evelyn was only 3 months old, I had surgery. So reconstruction, six-week recovery, couldn't lift her, didn't get to hold her for 5 days after surgery, drains, all the things. But you know what? I'm better for it. My risk went from 85% to 2%. So I'm really thankful to know and to have the opportunity to be proactive in my health through my mom's journey. Something positive has come out of that. And then going back to 2020, when we had no success with IVF, I think I covered everything. My bad. I thought I skipped stuff. All right. So, even though this seems very heavy, because it is, I share this and am transparent with you about it because through difficult trials in life, none of which were I chose, you know, they weren't consequences of actions, they're just a part of how things go sometimes. God and his providence and his mercy and his love were seen throughout all of that journey. And I feel like we've been able to maintain a positive outlook because of that. I'm not very good at asking for help, and my friends say on me about that. Thanks, guys. They help anyway. So I'm very thankful for a loving husband, wonderful friends, family, and an awesome church family. Because without them, it'd be really difficult, and it still can be. But I'm not sure quite how folks get through life without the church. It's pretty amazing. So the presence of God, intense prayer, and a strong support system, as well as mental grit and a positive attitude, are how I get by each day. And it's still difficult because I'm still actively in anesthesia school, and I started the program with a two-week-old and had major surgery that summer, and as well as the end of the year of 2024. And then, of course, mom's cancer came back last year, and still trucking, so graduate next year. So in our grief, we got to remember that God does not just walk beside us. He supports our weight by upholding us with his righteous hand. This is especially meaningful when grief is heavy, faith feels weak, tears come unexpectedly. God's our comforter. God sees the longing and loneliness others may overlook, and he's present in every doctor's visit, negative test, hurtful question, or a moment that you watch others live out your dream of motherhood in person or on social media. Worth and our identity are not defined by motherhood, but by belonging to God God's plan is not delayed. His timing is perfect, and he is present ever, even in the waiting. God acknowledges children that others may have never known and knows their every feature. He grieves with us mothers that grieve what could have been and the life that we wanted with our babies. Loss before birth or a short while after is still profound loss. God holds both mothers and their babies in his loving arms. God's presence is constant, even when circumstances are painful. Isaiah 41:10 does not promise a life without pain. It promises a God who stays, strengthens, and sustains. To every lady with the heartache watching a loved one suffer, holding dreams that haven't come true, and carrying grief that no one sees, missing someone you deeply love, you do not walk this road alone, for God will meet you there, both in sadness and also in gladness. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for all your smiling faces. I know that was very touching, and thank you for sharing your story. I love the book of Ephesians, especially chapter 3. Verse 8 says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the unfathomable riches of Christ." Have you ever felt like you were the very least of all in a group? I have mastered the art of comparison. There are times when I hear what so-and-so did and think, I don't do that. I don't have that talent. And then guess what? I would feel bad about myself. Can anyone else relate? I'm learning that I cannot compare myself to others, that my identity is in Christ, not what other people think, or even in my circumstances. Paul goes on to tell us here that there is good news. We have unfathomable riches in Christ. Let's read verses 14 through 17. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would give you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being firmly rooted and grounded in love." So verse 16 says, the Father is strengthening us with power through his Spirit. This means that our strength comes from who? The Holy Spirit, not ourselves. That's good news right there. Verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, in our hearts, through faith. What do you think of when you hear the word dwell? It reminds me of dwelling in my home, living in my home. I'm not just a temporary guest. Our life is not just believing in Christ, but living surrendered to him. He goes on to say that we have become firmly rooted and grounded in love. Rooted means nourishment and growth. We are nourished by the word of God and therefore grow as we read and study his word. What do you think of the word when you hear grounded? I think of stability and endurance. We have stability in Christ, and that helps us to endure the hard times, which is more good news. Verses 18 through 21 says, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or understand, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I looked up what breadth, length, height, and depth means on Bible Hub, and it said, the breadth is like width. It encompasses all people from every nation and background. Length suggests God's love covering from eternity past to eternity future, extending through history. Height points us followers to heaven. And depth, I really liked what he said about depth. Depth reflects God's willingness to enter the fullest depths of human experience and suffering we face. When we live to understand God's love, that will transform us, how we see ourselves, how we see others, and the trials that we go through. Ladies, I want this to encourage you. We have hope. We have joy. We are strengthened by His Spirit, and we can know God's love. What do we need to do? To be honest here, I had the word endure. And don't we sometimes feel like we're just enduring, hanging on for dear life? But because we have hope in Jesus, it led me to think it's more than just enduring, it's abiding. Abiding in Him, surrendering in Him, especially when we go through these hard times. Sometimes a season of suffering has been so long for us that we don't know how to feel joy. And sometimes we may just not want to be joyful because of our circumstances, and that's okay. We do not have to ignore our pain. We can cry out to God. Your circumstances might not change, but you're not alone. Jesus knows, because His circumstances didn't change. He understands. Hebrews 5:7 says, "In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverence." Jesus was heard, ladies, and so are we. Let us hold on to Jesus during those hard times. This picture is of our backyard. And you'll notice these big steps here. There's no railings, nothing to hold on to. Well, I get to take Lucy, this is Lucy, she's actually about 15 pounds, our dog, up those steps. Well, in general, I don't do good on steps anyway. But when you don't have a railing, you know, for something to hold on to, that's just a recipe for disaster for me. It's not so much walking up, even though I have stumbled going up the steps. It's mainly going down is the problem. Let me demonstrate this. So I have Lucy here in this arm, and then this hand I hold out like this, okay? And I'm walking down the steps like this. Well, my family caught hold of me one time and started laughing their heads off because I looked so silly. Well, sometime last year, I don't really remember the circumstances. I just remember I was standing up at the top of those steps, looking down. And all I could think of was, I'm going to fall. And I got scared. And I had, you know, this left hand out here, right? And as my left hand is out here, this image popped into my head. Jesus took hold of my hand. And then I imagined His arm going around my waist. And it was at that moment that I could walk down those steps, and I said, Jesus, each step that I took. I would like for you to take the hand of the lady next to you or put your arm around her, whatever you feel comfortable doing. And I'd like for you to close your eyes. And I would like for you to think about a time that you were afraid. Whatever storm you're battling, be it health issues, financial issues, whatever it is that's upsetting you. Now imagine the hand that you're holding, the arm around you, is Jesus. He whispers to you, I am holding you through this storm. Just keep your eyes on me. Trust me. I love you. Now open your eyes. I pray that the next time you are afraid or worried, you will remember and feel the love of Jesus holding your hand, His arm around your waist, reminding you that He is here for you, and we as your sisters are here for you. Thank you.
Amazing. We didn't expect any less, though. I appreciate y'all so much. And we love you and just appreciate the transparency and the and that at the end was so wonderful too. So thank y'all very, very much.